Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm glad I don't work at a power plant after this episode. It looks terrifying.
I'm fairly certain most nuclear power plants don't have the problems that the Springfield plant does.
Oh, sure. You're just going to say, oh, this is the only one. Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe that.
Nuclear power is probably our best bet for the future, Matt, if we want to continue with just propagating wildly as a species.
Well, it's either that or rounding up all the stray people in the world and just making them run on giant hamster wheels.
Stray people. Uh-huh. Who are these stray people, Matt?
All the people who can't get jobs.
I don't even know where to start with your... I don't know where to start.
It gives them something to do with their time.
Okay, moving on. We, before we get into this week's episode, remind you guys that you should rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Really helps us out. It's a great way to help us, right, Matt?
Indeed.
Indeed. Let's see. Oh, we did get an answer from one of our questions from Flaming Moe's, which I asked where that first happened in film, at least, where that Homer goes crazy and he sees Moe's everywhere. Here's Moe over and over and over again. Apparently, I was half correct in that it was a reference to a Hitchcock film called Blackmail. It happened in 1929, so one of his older films. Yes, thank you to Harold for pointing that out on our Facebook page. Really appreciate that. On to this week's episode is Burns, Verkaufen der Kraftwerk. That's right. That's right. Right, Matt?
Indeed. Burns, Verkaufen der Kraftwerk.
That's actually not correct German. It's the literal translation of Burns sells the plant.
Right.
But it's not the actual way to say it in German, which I believe is Burns, Verkaufen der Kraftwerk. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, it's Verkauf das Kraftwerk. Excuse me. We got to get it.
I will ask when I'm there in a few months.
There you go. Episode 8, FO9, originally aired December 5th, 1991. It was written by John Vitti, directed by Mark Kirkland. Had a 12.6 Nielsen rating, approximately 11.60 million viewing households, finished 38th in ratings. Again, finished second behind the show that will not be named. It was the highest rated show on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag, Christmas pageant does not stink.
Which is an obvious lie. I mean, really, it's a Christmas pageant. It's going to stink no matter what you do.
I'm not saying that there's bad. I'm not saying that there aren't any good Christmas pageants. I just haven't ever seen one. So maybe they're out there, but I'm not.
They probably are. At the rich kid's school, I'm pretty sure their pageant was awesome, but I didn't go to the rich kid's school, so, you know.
I went to a rich kid school, Matt. Not awesome.
Oh, okay, so you're saying kids everywhere are terrible? Good to know.
The couch gag. It says the helper growls at the family, does not let them on the couch. They back away slowly.
That's true. Never mess with a dog.
Never mess with a dog, especially one that looks like that. Phil Hartman guest stars in this episode as the unnamed stockbroker, Homer's seedy stockbroker, and as Horst, the most friendly German.
Well, he looks the most non-threatening.
Yeah, he does look non-threatening. Till the very end.
He looks very happy and very nice.
Till the very end.
Until the shadows.
Yeah, exactly. Episode begins with Burns in kind of a malaise. He's not happy with his life, apparently. He's, you know, there's not enough danger or thrill, I'm guessing.
Smithers, hey, controlled nuclear fission is a demanding mistress.
It's true. Smithers tries to get him out, like, to get what's wrong out of him by using a sock puppet, hand puppet, snapping the alligator.
Yeah, awesome sauce.
it's good. There's rumor floating around that Burns says, yeah, for $100 million, he kind of just makes a throwaway comment that he'd be willing to sell the plant for $100 million to Smithers. This hubbub is raising the stock price, basically, which every plant employee apparently has some stock in the plant, which actually is not bad everyone talks about how bad the plant is to work for, but...
Well, they gave up certain constitutional rights to get that, so yeah.
That's true. There's a trade-off. We get Homer gets called from the CD stockbroker voiced by Phil Hartman. He does a really good job. This guy looks disgusting and is gross and coughs. Eventually convinces Homer to sell the stock for a whopping $25. Homer sees vision of many things that he can buy for $25.
Oh, yeah, that sweet, sweet hammer money.
You gotta get that hammer. At the same time, we're back at the house. Bart's watching Itchy and Scratchy, which is this episode's title is House of Pain or This Old Mouse. And the whole family gets excited because they see on the news that the stock price is skyrocketing. And Marge does quick math and sees that it's going to be worth $5,200 if he sells all his stock at that price. Homer is at the Moe's, none the wiser, buys a fancy beer, a fancy Duff. Do you remember what they called it? It's like Captain Duff.
It's Henry K. Duff's Private Reserve.
I know. I like that. That's good. I don't think they've.
It sounds like a real beer. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I want to see like a Duff. They have the Duff glasses. I want one of those. I want the fancy Duff glass. But happenstance is Homer is at the bar and he runs into two German fellows who are interested in the power plant.
Have enough, boys.
Oh, thank you. My English is not perfect, but I have to tell you, your beer is like sweet to us. Do I have that right? I'm saying that only a swine would drink this beer.
Yeah, but thank you anyway.
Hey, you guys aren't from around here, are you?
Nein, we are from Germany. He is from the east. I am from the west.
I had a big company, and he had a big company. Now we have a very big company.
We are interested in buying the power plant. Do you think your owner would ever sell it?
Well, I happen to know that he won't sell it for less than $100 million.
$100 million?
That's fine. I feel fun. Oh, don't worry. We'll still have enough left to buy the Cleveland Browns.
Which you would never want to do ever.
Well, funny how that joke still works.
Yeah, right? It's like they moved to Baltimore, then made a new team, and they still suck.
They had the new Browns are just as bad. So, but they do have the Johnny Football. Or whatever that means. He's been terrible so far, but we'll see.
Johnny Football?
Johnny Manziel. He goes by Johnny Football. Okay. Won the Heisman in Texas A&M, Matt. Party animal. Yeah. Recently gone into rehab for his alcohol problems. His self-admitted alcohol problems. But Homer gets home and finds out that the family's very excited about, like, oh my god, we can get $5,000. And apparently,
also, I would like to know what kind of monster truck is Bart envisioning that only costs $5,200, because that's a little bit off, even for back in the 90s.
Yeah, Bart also envisions things he wants to buy with the money, and it's very enjoyable to see how Homer's and Bart's dreams are not too different from each other. Bart just has a little bit more to work with in the budget. But Homer quickly finds out that the stock is worth much, much more than when he sold it, and he is a little upset about that, and so is the family.
Oh! I sold it all for $25!
Oh! Come on, everybody, it makes you feel better.
Bart has kicked Homer into the television set.
I just have to point out how old this episode is. They still used eights for stock prices back then.
Oh! I didn't even pick that up, so... Matt, the stockbroker, day trader.
Yeah, that's it.
Burns hears about the interest from the Germans and decides to meet with them. Beforehand, he says, "Oh, I'll never sell. I'm just want to say nine to their face." But while they're eating at a German restaurant in Springfield, the Germans slide over their offer in Germanic font, which I really appreciate. I really like that. And Burns sees the figure. He's a little bit happy about that.
I grudgingly accept.
So Burns sells the plant to the Germans for $100 million. Burns has a press conference / I don't know, ceremony to welcome the new owners in. Everyone at the plant is now have nice cars. Lenny got plastic surgery to get a facelift. He has like a crazy smile all of a sudden. Burns introduces them. The German flag is seen raising up on the flagpole, which I've never even noticed before in the plant. It's might be there. I'm not sure. But everyone is suddenly very upset because they don't. They're worried about their jobs. And the we go to commercial with Lenny. Everyone's very upset except for Lenny. But Lenny just has the fake smile. So it's actually the worst day of his life. Is that what he says, Matt?
That's what he says, yes, but he is smiling hugely the entire time, so it's kind of hard to tell. Lenny, you're being a little ambiguous here, buggy guy.
Yeah, but with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see the employees all meeting for what appears to be an impromptu get-together with their new masters. And Lenny and Carl are talking about how they're the only people who can run the this or that. I believe Carl references the gaseous particulate contaminator, which... doesn't sound like a real thing. Sorry, Carl. And of course, Homer chimes in and says, oh, they can't fire me. And Lenny and Carl say, why? And Homer does not have an answer for that because it's Homer. There's no reason not to fire him. He doesn't even do anything anyway. But then we meet Horst. Horst. Gotta make sure I pronounce the T. Yeah, who is also Phil Hartman.
And actually, Phil Hartman knows German to a certain extent, at least some German. And so he actually helped them, I guess, make sure the conversations, like in the German, like everything works out, I guess, with the...
Well, Phil Hartman's a smart guy, so of course he knows German.
Of course.
But he was chosen because he appears as the most non-threatening. Perhaps he reminds you of the lovable Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes, which is a show they reference constantly, but I have never ever seen. Have you?
I've never actually watched an episode of Hogan's Heroes.
I'm going to have to go find that.
We can put it on our list of all the things we need to watch from strictly from The Simpsons.
That's true. But Horst, being a great guy, says, what's the best way to have a well-oiled machine for the power plant? Happy workers who are secure at their jobs, which just goes to show you those crazy Germans. They'll believe anything about how to run a business.
Actually, Matt, I think that's not necessarily a bad idea. I think that's a good idea.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
You wouldn't know that from all the American corporations that treat their workers like dirt.
Yes, that's true.
But anyway, he even tells the alcoholics they'll be sent for free to a 6-month drying out facility in Hawaii. Homer, who could probably use that, calls them lucky drunks. And then we see that they are going to be evaluated individually. And of course, Homer is a little distressed by this. No surprise, since he, you know, sucks at his job. And they already have some tough questions for him, because apparently the plant is a death trap, which Homer and Burns both like, because it means none of them have to do anything. But we then cut to Smithers, who is learning a special type of German.
You look sharp today, sir. You looking sharpen today in mine hair.
You looking sharpen today in mine hair.
That was a gutsy decision, sir.
Which I think we can tell from that is definitely not real German.
That's not real German, Matt? You sure?
I'm pretty sure. I studied German for just a little bit, so I'm not 100% expert, but I'm pretty sure you looking sharpen is not German.
Looking is not looking is not looking German?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
I have been living a lie this entire time.
I know, I say that all the time. You looking sharpen today, and tell the people on the street when they look German. But, of course, Burns calls when he's in his office, where he is endorsing the giant check the Germans gave him, because apparently it's a real check. It's not a wire transfer or anything. Just a giant check for $100 million. And he tells Smithers that he's going to miss him and gave him his picture of Elvis with Burns. And seeing Burns with a sense of humor is, I think, a first. I don't think we've seen Burns laugh or really even smile in a non-evil way before. But he makes fun of Elvis in a great fake accent that Smithers finds funny and endearing. And Smithers asks Burns, well, what are you going to do now? And it's actually funny because he says, oh, I don't know, beekeeping, bocce ball. And he mentions one other thing that I don't remember. Oh, boxing. And we actually see him doing all three of those things before the end of the episode. Does. So he kept to his word.
I actually like Burns, that's the thing I like most about this episode is that it shows Burns not being like just the, you know, the evil, giant, monstrous villain. He's actually just like, he does a funny impersonation of Elvis, and he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's just wonderful. He basically is a real person, and a happy person at that. So I think in every episode we've seen Burns away from the plant, he's been a good person. So I guess the nuclear plant is haunted, and it just makes Burns into an evil person.
It's true.
But he departs, and he actually gives... I think he hugs Smithers, doesn't he, before he leaves?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm sure that was one of Smithers' all-time best days, despite the uncertainty of his future at the power plant. We then cut to Homer at home, of course, worrying about his job. So he goes to Lisa for help and asks, oh, why are the Germans so great? Is it because we give them money? And this is like one of the best scenes. I probably should have captured this, but I forgot to. Where Lisa says, oh, no, it's because they're hardworking and punctual with a strong work ethic. And Homer is absolutely dismayed at this because that does not describe him at all. So, of course, he spends the rest of the night worrying. He goes to talk to Marge in bed. Well, actually, Marge is in bed and naked, oddly enough. We're not given a reason
it's just
why.
A strange thing. Like, it's just suddenly she's just naked in bed. And, like, it stands out. It's very the first thing you see. You're like, wow. Because you don't really see that very much.
You don't. Everybody should sleep naked, but not enough people do. But Homer is actually not in bed.
Matt, before we go any further, okay, what if there's a fire?
Then you run outside. It's better to be naked and not burned than naked and clothed and burned.
But then you can have, if you just have the clothes on, you can just run outside and not be burned, and no one goes, hey, it's the naked guy when the fire.
What's wrong with being the naked guy?
Who wants to be the naked guy?
I'm okay with being the naked man. Works 2 out of 3 times. That's a How Much Your Mother joke for all of you out there. Robbie won't get that. Don't worry.
I didn't get it. I was like, what is that? It's a reference. I did not understand that reference. Okay.
It's okay. I'm sure some of our readers are cool. Some of our listeners are cool enough to watch How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, burn.
Yeah. Anyway, Homer is pacing about the bed in his pajamas because apparently he's a little too worked up to be naked like Marge. And he's very afraid for his job. And I think with a good reason, to be honest, because, well... yeah, we all know why Homer barely has a job as is. But Marge is trying to reassure him, saying, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you get fired, we'll get by. We've gotten by before. And Homer, in a very odd bit of sentimentality, says, my job is my identity. So apparently, if he's not a nuclear safety whatchamajigger, then he's nothing.
It's a brilliant line, and that the fact that only when he's actually thinking about it is it his identity.
Yeah, and he doesn't even know exactly what it is. He just knows that's who he is.
When he's not focused on it, it doesn't matter.
Yes. And so Homer, of course, can't sleep. So he goes downstairs to do a Battlestar Galactica puzzle. And this being Homer, he immediately starts trying to put two pieces together that don't fit at all. So he just starts slamming the table. He's frustrated, and eventually he falls asleep on top of the puzzle pieces. And when he wakes up, he's covered in drool and puzzle pieces. He then has to go to work, of course, and where he's sitting there eating donuts like crazy. And as soon as one of the Germans comes in, he starts yelling to people about safety and how they're not being safe or safe enough. And obviously the Germans aren't fooled by this, but they want to have a little talk with him.
Homer, could we have a word with you?
No.
I must have phrased that badly. My English is how you say inelegant. I meant to say, may we have a brief friendly chat?
No.
Once again, I failed. We request the pleasure of your company for a free exchange of ideas.
Poor Homer. He's just too stupid to get it. I think Homer runs on the principle that the longer someone talks to you, the more likely something bad is going to happen. So unless it's a very short phrase, he's going to run away screaming.
Well, if he doesn't talk to them, nothing bad can happen.
That's true. They can't fire him without talking to him first. That's the rules.
Exactly.
But unfortunately for Homer, those aren't the rules. We see him later when they've actually managed to calm him down and get him into the office, talking to Horst and another German that we haven't seen before. And they're basically talking to him, asking him, you know, how does his job as a safety inspector work? What has he done? And of course, Homer has no response to these because as far as he knows, his job is sleeping and eating donuts. But in an effort to find some common ground, the Germans tell him that, oh, they're from the land of chocolate. And Homer, of course, immediately goes into what is apparently a 10-minute dream sequence, which is fantastic, and I wish worked in audio, because if you guys have not seen this, or haven't seen it in a while, go watch it. It is hilarious. It is very well done. Everything's made of chocolate, and it made me salivate for a good 5 minutes after watching
this.
It's so
awesome.
Delicious.
It's amazing. Like, just Homer's mannerisms, like, they make him look the happiest, because he would be the happiest if he was in chocolate land.
He is absolutely giddy. Is basically what it comes down to, taking bites out of everything. And when he awakens from his reverie, the Germans tell him that was 10 minutes ago. And we don't see much of the evaluation after that, but Homer is, you know, he's pretty confident. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, we had a great talk, telling Lenny and Carl about it. Of course, at this exact moment, we hear over the intercom them say, they regret to announce the following layoffs. Simpson, Homer, that is all. So poor Homer is the only one to get fired. And then we go to commercial break with Homer's extremely sad face.
It seems like every second act of The Simpsons ends with Homer being sad.
Well, he is kind of a moron, so I can't say I'm surprised.
It just seems to be a trend. Saturdays of Thunder, second act ended with Homer being sad. That's off the top of my head. Was Flaming Moe's ended with Homer being sad? It's three in a row, second act ending with Homer being sad.
That's true. That's their formula. All right, how can we make Homer sad at the second act, but less sad at the end of the third act? That was their season three formula.
Another note on the chocolate sequence. Apparently, they wanted a sign that said, like, the Hershey Highway. But
I'm not surprised they didn't get that. I mean, that's a trademark right there. No way Hershey would let them have that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the problem the censors had with that. It was the trademark issues. When we come back from the break, the family is kind of in crisis mode. They're sitting around the table in the kitchen, and Homer's disheveled, as in, like, that's the universal sign that someone's unemployed, is that they have, you know, a little extra scruff and they're a little disheveled. But the family has a bunch of ideas on how they can save money.
Bart, Lisa did a wonderful job on my hair, and we saved $40 for the family. We all have to pull together till your father gets a new job.
I made a new bar of soap by squeezing all our little soap slivers together.
That's very clever.
And today, instead of buying comic books, I just read them and left them in the store.
You shouldn't do that.
My jump rope broke, but I just tied it back together.
That's good, Lisa.
I didn't take a bath today, and I may not take one tomorrow.
I want you to take baths, Bart.
So, Bart's
I don't know. I kind of like Bart's methods. I mean, you know, just read the comic books, put them back, save you a whole bunch of money.
We're kind of like cutting back and forth a lot in the third act between Burns in his active retirement. We see him doing the aforementioned bocce ball, but he storms off the court. Or actually, he orders Grandpa and all the other old people that live in Springfield off the court because they made fun of him because he's terrible.
And he owns that park, dang it.
He owns the park. We see him call Smithers to set up a drink date, so to speak, during his boxing match, which basically involves Burns just very weakly punching a giant man in the chest.
Yes, sir, Mr. Burns.
And at the same time, the Germans are at the plant inspecting everything. It's pretty bad shape. There's leaks. There's crumbling floors. There are raccoons. Raccoons are in the plant. That's not a good sign if you have raccoons in your power plant.
I don't know. Those things are everywhere.
There's raccoons a lot of places. Power plants, not the best place for them.
That's true, I suppose.
So the Germans are having a little bit of buyer's remorse. We cut to Burns tending his bees, and Smithers shows up.
Ready for that drink, sir?
Just a second, Smithers. Let me introduce you to the gang. That's Buzz. That's Honey. And you see that queen over there? Her name is Smithers.
That's very flattering, sir, but we should go. Several bees are stinging.
So, two things. One, that obvious gay joke. That queen over there, his name is Smithers. Secondly, Smithers not allergic in this scene.
No, he totally developed that later on.
Does that happen, Matt?
Yes, in this episode, he was eating local produce, and that made him immune to bee stings. That's totally how science works.
Okay. All right. Now you guys have heard that. Matt is a scientist, so we can trust him.
Sure.
Bart calls in to Moe's Tavern and is, I don't know if it's my favorite prank of the prank calls, but it's up there.
Moe's Tavern, Moe speaking.
Yes, I'm looking for a Mrs. O'Problem, first name B.
Yeah, just a minute, I'll check. B O'Problem? B O'Problem? Come on, guys, do I have a B O'Problem here?
You sure do!
Oh, you, isn't it? Listen, you, when I get a hold of you, I'm gonna use your head for a bucket and paint my house with your brains.
I'm going to use your
head
as a bucket.
That is damn creative.
Use your head as a bucket and paint my house with your brains. It's the best. I love Mo's reply is everything. But right away, Marge then tells Bart that he has to go down to Mo's and retrieve his father.
Uh-oh, Bart's in trouble now.
Bart is, and we have, it's a nice little, a little mini tension, mini drama inside this episode, because Bart has to go down to Mo's, he just called, and he's so afraid that Mo is going to recognize his voice, but Mo, of course, does not, and Bart kind of entertains all the drunks. He sings, what is the name of the song, The Teddy Bears Have Their Picnic, or is that just... I'm not sure.
No idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I couldn't find any trace of it, but if you guys know what that song is from, please let me know. But at the same time, Bart is entertaining the drunks. Homer's there. Burns and Smithers show up, and they want to pal around. Doesn't turn out so good for them.
Barkeep, some cheap domestic beer for me and my buddy here.
I'm not your buddy, you greedy old reptile.
Smithers, who is this saucy fellow?
Homer Simpson, sir. Sector Seben Group, Sector 7G, recently terminated.
That's right. I lost my job so that you could have another $100 million. Let me ask you something. Does your money cheer you up when you're feeling blue?
Yes.
Okay, bad example. So let me ask you this. Does your money ever hug you when you come home at night?
Why, no.
And does it ever say, I love you?
No. It doesn't.
Nobody loves you. Nobody loves you. You're old and you're ugly. Nobody loves you.
Good heavens, Smithers. They're not afraid of me anymore.
So Burns realizes that without the power of owning the plant, no one really is afraid of him.
It's true. He's rich, but he doesn't control their livelihood, so meh. Not a lot he can do with them.
It's true. He makes a vow right at that moment.
Good as money if you can't inspire terror in your fellow man. I've got to get my plant back.
So Burns needs to get his plant back, and the Germans don't want it anymore. Because it is, per their words, $50 million just to get it up and running. I don't know why they couldn't just do what Burns has done for apparently time immemorial and just ignore everything and just bribe their officials. But I guess the Germans actually have kind of a conscience and ethics. So
Whoa. You can't have those things in a successful business. That's just crazy. Those don't mix.
But Burns shows up, quickly finds out that the Germans want to sell their plant back and is willing to buy it back for $50 million. And the Germans humbly accept because it's better than the alternative. They don't want to sink. And it frankly... That's good business sense, because it is, I think, I don't know, would it be better to get half the money back and just get out of the deal, Matt? Do you think it's better? I think it is.
I think it'd be a good idea for them, because there's no telling. Burns probably bribes the heck out of the safety people, and they don't know that, and they might not do it for them, that sort of thing. Plus, you know, that's just asking for problems. And Burns will be dead soon, so what does he care?
And Burns, doesn't mind rubbing it in the Germans' faces a little bit.
Take it or leave it.
All right, Mr. Burns. You win, but beware. We Germans aren't all smiles and sunshine.
Ooh, the Germans are mad at me. I'm so scared. Ooh, the Germans.
Uh-oh, the Germans are coming to get me.
Easy, guys.
Oh, don't let the Germans come after me.
Please stop pretending you're scared, Gary.
Stop it.
Oh, no, they're so big and strong.
Stop it, Mr. Burns.
Stop pretending you're scared of us, please.
Burns, stop it.
This is a man who has lived through World War I and World War II, so he ain't scared of nothing.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's that little, the light, more lighthearted side of Burns. I really like it. I really appreciated this episode. Burns immediately tells him, Smithers, to stop all the repairs and to rehire Homer Simpson. Smithers is perplexed, and Burns is basically just saying, yeah, I'm going to hire him so that I have total control over him and can ruin his life if I want to. Of course, he quickly forgets until the next time. but the episode, and Burns makes this really ominous threat, and then we cut quickly to Homer celebrating as he gets his job back. He's none the wiser. So that's the end of the episode. It's a good one, a solid one, not spectacular, but it's not bad. Good.
Hey, any episode with reference to the Sword of Damocles is okay by me.
Where's that? I missed that.
That's when, right before he hires Homer and he goes, oh, I got my job back. He says, little will he know the sword of Damocles is inching ever closer.
Oh, okay.
And he stabs the Homer doll in the stomach.
I did not realize he said sword of Damocles. I love the sword of Damocles references. But we will rank that at the end of the show. Next up, let's see. Keep sending your submissions in for my favorite episode. Still getting trickling in. I could always use more. Guys, keep sending them in. Reminder, my favorite episode, email us at Simpsons Show Pod. There it is. Can't remember my own own email address. Email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Title of my favorite episode. What your favorite episode is and why. And when we get to it, we will read your answer on air. Next, comments from the news group. Still radio silence. Nothing happening. As I've gone further on, Matt, somebody was sick for 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Apparently, that's all it took for the internet to not work. Was that someone was one person
well,
was
well, back
sick.
When the internet was like six guys.
Well, 1991, right? End of 1991.
Yeah, back when you had to put your phone in the little coupler in order to dial up.
So there's nothing there, really. Next episode, we'll have some stuff. It'll come back up. But next, our listener question of the week. This week's question, what is the best or your favorite? Yeah, I vary my wording sometimes. But Bart and Homer episode, you know, relationships, rivalries, whatever. You guys, as always, interpret it in different ways. And I really like that because it always gets very creative, interesting answers. Really like all the answers. Always really tough to winnow these down so that I'm not reading these for like 30 minutes of the show. But here we go. See Danny at Woosh Danny H on Twitter. We got Maximum Homer Drive. As silly as it is, this later era episode shows how strong their bond has gotten. We have Sean at ShawnieMac15. Absolutely Homer's phobia. Hysterical groundbreaking ep that had Homer epitomizing the American everyman in 1997. Nothing short of a cultural milestone. Zap. Zap. I had to read the zaps.
Of course.
Stephanie at Fan225. King size Homer. Bart is so gung-ho to help Homer get fat. You could brush your teeth with milkshakes.
Which is sure. A fantastic idea.
I'm
delicious.
I'm in favor of anything involving milkshakes, honestly. John at ChopaStyle311. Bart Starr. Homer has an emotional arc I imagine all fathers do when they are their kid's coach. Except me. My dad cut me. If that's true, John, I am very sorry for you. I feel for you. We have Izzy. Izzy Steak Fries. I have to say, Lord of the Dance. Homer and Bart stealing grease. No through savings and wise investments. Emu Farm? That's a good one. We have on Facebook, Mike. This may be out of left field, but I'm going with Itchy and Scratchy the movie. Those beginning seasons were really focused on Homer figuring out how to be a good parent, and it was fun to watch him struggle to put his foot down. Plus, I always get a laugh out of Bart pounding ketchup packets with a hammer singing Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells.
This makes no sense. And it's true, that is really focused on his fatherhood. It's a good answer. We have Brian. I'm sure there are many better episodes that feature Bart and Homer, but I'm going to speak from the heart. I love Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire. It's my Homer to find, if you will. Had it on VHS as a kid and watched it every Christmas. Homer and Bart teaming up to save Christmas made for a memorable introduction to the characters and the overall humor of the series going forward. And that's true. It really did set that standard for Homer and Bart's relationship and them kind of at odds with each other, but also, you know, being a team. And finally, we have Terry. Gotta say, it has to be Boy Scouts in the Hood. From Homer relentlessly mocking Bart for joining the junior campers, to Homer redeeming himself in Bart's eyes by saving the day with his nose, sniffing out a crusted burger on an offshore oil rig, it's a great father and son episode. Also has one of my favorite lines from the show, Godspeed, Little Doodle. Oh, I spoke too soon. I have a couple more on here. I missed them. Let's see. We have Brandon. My episode is Bart's New Friend, which very recent episode. It's an episode that shows a lot of Bart and Homer hanging out. You get to see Homer be a kid again. Bart taking advantage of Homer's size, plus Bart having to take the difficult decision of whether or not to keep his new best friend or to return Homer back to being his father. And finally, we have Elliot. I'll go with perhaps the finest father-son episode in TV history, Lemon of Troy. Bart and Homer don't work together for much of the episode, but like the greatest of teams, see Han and Luke, they combine forces in separate storylines to defeat evil, see Shelbyvillians. And like like those other great duos, they gather followers to help them in their quest, see Milhouse, Flanders. That's true. It is. That's, they are like coming at the same problem from two different directions, and it's interesting to see how they tackle it. Is it Rod or Todd that is the crazy religious one that the religious one that ends up going crazy?
It's Rod.
Rod that does it? Yeah. Matt, what's your answer?
Well, I was really hoping I would be the only one to pick this one, but I'm going to have to go with Boy Scouts in the Hood because that episode is fantastic. I love the fact that it starts with them in conflict and eventually they resolve it to the point where they're essentially best friends again. And Bart actually tells them, "I'm glad you're my father," which you don't hear out of Bart very much.
But that's it's true.
It's an all-around classic episode.
And actually, I had my answer in mind, but reading through the listener responses, I have to change it because I'm like, oh yeah, that is better. I like it more. And then my answer, Itchy and Scratchy the movie. I'm going with Mike's answer.
Aww, that was a good answer.
I just the vision of them at the end with Bart being a Supreme Court justice. Finally watching the movie far in the future, which isn't actually that far in the future anymore.
Which one's the mouse, Itchy? He's a jerk.
my answer was going to be Two Bad Neighbors. Because that's probably my favorite.
Oh, I almost picked that one too.
That's one of my favorite Bart. That's would Bart and Homer team up? But Itchy and Scratchy the movie really shows Homer actually
also
becoming
close
the father.
Close second, Homer versus the 18th Amendment with them making booze in the basement. It was a great father son moment.
That's true. Yes, that's, when
and
I brought
the cops.
Yes, that's a great parenting by father from Homer as a father. So next week's question. With this episode being about the Germans, it kind of sparked me. What's your favorite foreign-born character? So, Apu, or Groundskeeper Willy, or whoever else you guys can think of. There's lots of them out there, and you could be creative as you want. I try and spur it. I'll post this question on all our social media. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can find us on Twitter, @SimpsonsShowPod. And you can email us at Gmail. SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. And finally, it is the time for our last segment of every episode. Matt, you know what time it is, right?
9 o'clock.
Well, it is that, but it's also time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever. Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, Matt, where does this one go? It's a tricky one.
This is actually a tough one, yeah, because I really like this episode, but it doesn't really stand out in any specific way. It's all around a good, tight episode. You've got Phil Hartman. You've got the guest stars in the Germans, who are great. You've got Homer being Homer, and you've got the family chipping in here and there. It's one of those ones that's strong enough that doesn't need a B story, so there isn't much. I'm actually looking probably somewhere around maybe number 12 or 13, so right around where Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment. I think it's probably better than that, but I don't know if it's better than Flaming Moe's. What do you think?
I'm not sure. That's where I was looking to. I was looking down the list and going like, I don't know. I think it's not better. I think Flaming Moe's is better. This does have Land of Chocolate. I think that first act is a little not super tight. Like, it's a little kind of aimless, but that second and third acts are really, really strong, really funny.
I don't know. I really like the first act, mainly because Homer having stock is hilarious. Him selling it all for a beer.
That's
Lenny's
true.
Plastic surgery and the family just getting all super pissed off at him.
That's true. Okay. Better than Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment or not, Matt?
It's hard to pick. I would say, I'm going to go with no. I'm going to say it's right there with it, but I'm going to say Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment is better.
I think I can go with that. I think Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment has a little bit more of like emotional and like heart to it, and it kind of, I think that puts it right over the edge of this one. So
I would agree.
So new number 13 is Bernswerk Kaufen der Kraftwerk, right ahead of One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish. Right behind Homer vs. Lisa in the 8th Commandment, which is the two episodes, we have to separate them because they're too wordy right next to each other. but still number one, Lisa's Substitute. In last place is now, let's see, number 46, Homer's Odyssey.
And it's not going out of that spot anytime soon.
Probably not, no. But eventually, I think something will replace it. Eventually. We have a long road to hoe, Matt, so we got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Did you just say long road to hoe?
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a thing.
All right, maybe. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Let's see. You can find this list at our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find the list there, break it down by season, probably break it down other ways eventually. You can also find new episodes there, downloadable streaming. You can find links to our Twitter, to our Facebook, to our Tumblr, even though I don't do a bunch with it, but it's there if you guys, maybe if there's more followers, maybe I'll start paying more attention to it. You can link to our RSS feed, comment on new episodes, contact us if you'd like through the website, and you can donate to the show if you like. We really appreciate that, of course. You can find... Oh, wait. Before we go to that, what's our next episode, Matt?
I believe our next episode is... Yes, it is another flashback episode. It is I Married Marge.
That's a really solid one. It's a good one. I tweeted about it, saying how much I liked it. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. You can also check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour at handsomeboyscomicshour.com on iTunes and everywhere else. Matt does not participate in social media, so you will not find him.
That's true, but I occasionally listen to AM radio, so if you can find some extra frequencies and feel like throwing up your own 5-megawatt broadcasting tower, I will be listening someday, perhaps, kind of, sort of.
That's all it takes, folks. All it takes.
Only a really old broadcasting system. That's all it takes.
Well, with that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.